Lord God, we thank you that we can come to you in our weakness, in our fear, and just sit at your feet and recharge our spiritual batteries and just worship you. You are the creator. You are the one that made all things. You are the one that knows all things. You know. You have always known, and you will always know. And we thank you for that. You are an awesome God. So, Lord, we can just come sit at your feet. We thank you for that. And Lord, your children, over the ages, there have been many times that they've been terrified. And nothing new to you. And in all situations, over the ages, you've dealt graciously and lovingly and mercifully with them. And now it's our turn, Lord. We're here. And we're seeking, we're pleading for your guidance and your reassurance. Please, bless this time we spend together. And keep us strong, Lord. We pray that in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. So, friends, good morning to you. My name is Stephen McFarlane, and I come all the way from Maritzburg, from St. Mark's. Well, actually, I'm talking from home, where I'm in exile, same as you. But I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, these are frightened times, are they not? As I write this, we've already experienced two deaths in South Africa as a result of the feared coronavirus. And yes, they are frightening times, but they're also exciting times, and I would love to tell you all about it. My prayer is that the Lord will keep me out of the way as I deliver this message to you, so that you can hear his voice and share in the excitement. Now, I'll be sharing with you two pieces of scripture, Ezekiel 37 and John 11. I won't be reading either of them in its totality, all right, because they're fairly long. But at this stage, we all have time. We're stuck at home for weeks. Spend some of that time with the Lord. Please go through these scriptures in detail and just allow the Lord to bless you. Just open up your mind and hear what he has to say. So the first one then, Ezekiel 37 verses 1 to 14 is the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. I'm not going to read the whole piece, but I'll read the first verse or two just to put it in context and remind you what it's all about. And Ezekiel starts off by saying, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and as I saw, a great many bones in the valley, on the floor, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.'" Now those were the first three verses. But the story goes on, where the Lord says to him, "Prophesy. Prophesy to them. Tell them, I'm going to fix you up. I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to breathe life into you." And as Ezekiel does that, it's exactly what happens. It's a beautiful story. Please revisit it. Read it in detail. And then from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, the first 45 verses, it's a long piece. But it's the story about Lazarus being raised from death by Jesus. Okay. So, the first couple of verses, again, just to put you in context, to remind you. It starts off, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus was now sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to the Lord, to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Please read the entire piece. It is a blessing. My friends, these scriptures that I've shared with you, they are from the lectionary for today. Now, I don't know who actually draws up the lectionary, but it was drawn up some time ago, long before anybody had heard of the coronavirus. But you see how the Lord's speaking directly into us, into our situation today. And not that it's a surprise, because of course the Lord knows, and he has always known, and he will always know. and he speaks into our situation. Ezekiel starts by saying, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." And that's a phrase, I think it occurs about 6 times in the book of Ezekiel. It is just so beautiful. When I read those words, it is like, "Ah, Lord, I want that. I want your hand to be upon me." It's such an enviable state, don't you think? But you see, it's not our choice. It's up to the Lord if he decides to do it. But if we are not in close and deep and intimate relationship with him, if we're not spending significant amounts of time with him, we can forget about it. The principle there is also that if anyone has the anointing of the Lord, they can't hide it. But if they don't have the anointing, they cannot fake it. Ezekiel had the anointing, and he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." Now, the context that he was prophesying in, he was in exile in Babylon, all right? And he was speaking to God's people in exile. And today we're also in exile, each in our own homes as a result of coronavirus. The lockdown, and here we are. All of a sudden, unpredicted, unexpected, a lot of time on our hands. Exile. And the Lord shows Ezekiel a valley of dry bones. And he says, "Prophesy to the bones." And Ezekiel prophesies and as instructed, and the bones come to life. And the Lord says, and this is a quote from the scripture that you're going to read. The Lord says about the dry bones, "These bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." Doesn't that sound a bit like us today in lockdown? Despairing, angry, cut off, hopeless. Now, have you heard of the grief cycle? I just want to tell you a little bit about it, and you'll see where I'm going soon. But basically, years ago, some studies were done with many terminal cancer patients as they go through a typical set of responses after hearing the news of their condition. And those stages, the grief cycle stages, are denial, anger, despair or depression, bargaining and acceptance. Now Jesus, and this is a quote, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, it wasn't the case that Jesus loved Lazarus, and when he heard that he was sick, he rushed off to his side to save him. No, he stayed where he was, and he let Lazarus die because he loved him and his sisters. The scripture says, "So, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days. And when he does arrive, after Lazarus has now been in the tomb for 4 days, he finds the sisters in pain. Their grief is raw. They are shattered. And he goes to Lazarus' tomb with Mary and Martha, his sisters. And Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? He is God. And he who is God, he knows what's beyond the grave. So surely he wouldn't weep because Lazarus died. It doesn't make any sense. He knows the beauty beyond the grave. No, his tears weren't for Lazarus. They were for his sisters and for the other mourners. He saw their pain and he felt for them. He wept because he who is God shared their pain. He is a God who sees and hears and knows and understands everything. He shares our pain. And you see, when Jesus steps into the grief cycle, everything changes. He transforms it into something beautiful. So he raises Lazarus off from the dead after 4 days. Lazarus' feet and hands were bound in the grave clothes, but he was alive. He was alive, but bound up in his grave clothes, okay? So he couldn't go anywhere and he couldn't do anything. And his head was covered with a shroud or whatever you call that thing over his cloth, over his face, his head. Okay? And he couldn't see or speak. Now, what is interesting is that Jesus didn't remove the grave clothes himself. He could have, but he didn't. Instead, he told his listeners to do it. He said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And when somebody comes to Christ and the Holy Spirit raises them to spiritual life, they're still wrapped up in their past. Their old lifestyle, habits, traditions, fears and sin and guilt and all of that stuff still surrounds them, and they're still bound in it and in bondage to it, even though they're saved and alive spiritually. And it's our responsibility, yours and mine, to help them to shed that past. Not by telling them, guys, you must forget about this, whatever you've been doing, and stop doing it. Telling them doesn't make any difference. We've got to walk beside them. We've got to support them. We've got to take their hands and just help them and to grow. And, of course, to pray for them. And so, my friends, we're in lockdown. I have never been, well, actually when I was a kid, I was often grounded. But it's not the same as being in lockdown. So it's something new. It's a situation that we're all in. And what are the scriptures and what does this all say to us today? Okay, let's see. In the first place, we've seen denial. We've heard of people claiming it isn't a big deal and won't really affect us. Just now on the news, I was hearing people in Alexander saying, ha, there's no COVID yet, it's not going to touch us. And of course, it's not going to touch us. It's beyond us. It's denial. It's part of the grief cycle. And then anger. Ha, they can't restrict us in the way. It's not fair. It's not right. But of course, when you think of fair and right, it was neither fair nor right to put Jesus on the cross. That wasn't fair. But either way, the anger. People say, ha, we can't even go to church. Really, this is not right. Depression, despair, bargaining. You see how the various grief cycle stages, they're there. Instead of submitting, people bargain. And if I were to take my dog, and you know the story, okay? Now, he who is God is still in control. No matter what the world may say and make us believe, or try to make us believe, God is in control and he is actively working all things together for good, for our good, for the world's good. Romans 8:28. But think about it. Have you noticed how the whole world is united these days around a common enemy? It is fantastic. And we don't even have load shedding anymore. Might the good Lord be breathing life into the dry bones of his church? You know, we might be the uniquely privileged witnesses of wonderful miracles in our time. And our role, okay, let's see. We need to pray firstly that the hand of the Lord will be upon us, so that he will equip us and empower us to do whatever he calls us to do. And as with Ezekiel, it's not our choice, but it's the Lord's choice. But let's use this God-given opportunity. All of these lockdown hours we hadn't anticipated, let's use them to seek his face, spend time with the Lord, work your knees down to the bone, pray. And let's pray, yes, intercede for the church. a global valley of dry bones. Let's pray for them and pray for ourselves that the Holy Spirit will revive us and breathe new life into our dry bones. And as he breathes life into the life of his children, let's get ready for an ongoing ministry of unwrapping grave cloths, of freeing people from bondage to the past and fear and all of those things. And friends, let's pray for ourselves too, praying that he will free us from bondage to guilt and empower us for mission. And that is my message today. And my prayer is that he will reach out and touch every one of us. Touch every one of us where he knows we need it, uniquely. Fear, terror, whatever it is. Lord, please just reach out and touch us all in that special place, in that special way. You know what we need, and we thank you for that. So let's bow our heads for a closing prayer. Lord God, we thank you that we are alive today and now, and that we have the privilege of witnessing what promises to be a mighty upwelling of your Spirit in your church. Lord, may this period go down in history as the great revival of the 21st century. And thank you that we can be there to see it. And Lord, use us mightily, we pray, at this time. Bless us. Bless us hugely, that we may be a blessing and we may do whatever it is you call us to do. Lord, people are afraid. People are dying. And people are mourning. For those that are dying, as they step over the edge of eternity to be with you, life goes on. They're in a better place. And that's why you said in the scripture that I didn't read just now in the John reading, you said, whoever lives by believing in me, they will never die. So we thank you for that, Lord. Life goes on. Much better place. But for those that are left behind, for their loved ones, hearts tough, Lord, pain, mourning, and grief, please be with them and carry them through their pain. And Lord, please step into their grief cycle and turn it into something beautiful. And Lord, as you know, we're concerned for our loved ones. No one likes the idea of a severe case of the flu, let alone one of the COVID-19 magnitude. But Lord, we pray for our loved ones and please keep them safe. Please keep them safe. Just hold them in your hand and let them come to know you and that you love them. And Lord, we bring you the leadership of our beloved country. In fact, we bring you the leaders of all the nations at this time. And we know that it's like whatever they do, they're bound to be. Somebody's going to say they're doing the wrong thing and they're not. But it's tough for them. It must be tough. They're making such difficult and impactful decisions, Lord. It is tough. And so, Lord, we pray for them and please just give them the insight and wisdom as they make these difficult decisions and as they execute them. Just be with them, please, Lord. And one day when this is all over, I pray that the citizens will look back and recognize their wisdom. Their godly wisdom. Reach out and touch them, please. And Lord, please let us allow you to be God in our lives, to be our own personal God, a relationship with you. And Lord, please use this unusual period of lockdown as a time of revival and renewal as you bring us to our knees. And Lord, we thank you for the bountiful blessings, and we thank you that you are God and we are your children. In the name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen.